What's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 86. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
This is Ethan.
And joining us this week, we have two guests because, you know, we didn't get to go to Comic-Con this year. We get to live vicariously. First of all, I will introduce, sitting to my left from fanboys.net, Mr. Andy Adair.
Yay! How's it doing?
Good. Yes, thanks for coming. And as always, our man in the know, Mr. Christopher Stipp, writer of Quick Stop Entertainment, the Trailer Park column. How you doing, sir?
Chris?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. I know we've got a crap load of stuff to talk about, so let's just jump into it. I'll just say the two things I watched this week that weren't new releases. Just to start it off, I saw Scream 2 for some reason. And it's a fun movie still. It is. It's not as bad as the atrocity that is Scream 3. And it's a movie where Timothy Olyphant plays a good that type of character, because I don't want to spoil anything. Not as good as the first one, but still a fun movie. And then I saw Crips and Bloods Made in America. And that was really good. Like, this seriously what?
I just saw that yesterday. I had it on my TiVo forever, and I just watched it.
What'd you think of it, Chris?
Amazing.
Here's the thing. This should totally be up for Best Documentary, but you know it's not going to be.
No, absolutely not.
Because it's too much of a social issue that, yeah, it just gets a little bit too political. And when it gets too political for the Oscars, that's really saying something.
Unless there's global warming in it, it will not be nominated.
or the Iraq War.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a chance to see this, it's on Netflix. Watch it now. Well worth checking out. I'm just absolutely blown away by that movie because it gives such a unique perspective as to where the gangs actually started. And yeah, it was phenomenal. I don't even want to ruin any more than that. It's just really good. So yeah, Andy, would you like to talk about anything not Comic-Con related, or are you still deprogramming?
I am definitely in detox from Comic-Con this year. It's the moment I got back, I had to get back to work. So
okay, so we'll get to the one week at the current
absolutely
releases. Fair enough, Barry.
I saw Eddie Murphy's Imagine That.
Nice,
really.
I'll say this, you know. It's not Beverly Hills Cop, okay? But this movie does not deserve, even though it has terrible box office, it does not deserve to be bunched next to Meet Dave and Pluto Nash and some of the really terrible movies. This is the best live-action family film that Murphy did. It's not great, and it certainly has an ending that I thought was a complete wash. But honestly, this is really him working at the absolute top of his field in this type of movie. Very impressed for what it is. It's very, very good. It's light years better than something like Daddy Day Camp or Do You Care. It's very good for what it is. I like to imagine that. And I saw The Ugly Truth, which is truly one of the worst films of the year. Completely inept. Katherine Heigl cannot hide behind this one because she and her mother were the executive producer.
Oh,
but this is the worst thing Gerard Butler has ever done. This is the worst thing that she has ever done. Yeah, it was just scene for scene, terrible film.
My mom wants to drag me to that.
You're a brave soul if you go.
You're a good son.
Yes. Your mom owes you big time if you go see that with her. Yeah.
Okay. Chris, are you pretty much in detox mode as well?
Oh, absolutely I am. Like your guest there, I came home late on Sunday, had to be at work. First thing, you know, I was out of the bed by 5 a.m., and today was the first day I actually got to sleep till 8 or 9, so I'm still reeling.
All right, then. That's all good. You're going to have plenty to talk about shortly, so that's okay. Ethan, what have you got?
Oh, I watched a lot, so should I just, like, run through it because you want this to be relatively short?
Unless there's something that you really want to say, you know, you make it a brief synopsis, perhaps?
Okay,
unless there's something you want to get in-depth on.
I'll just run through it all. First thing, I watched Chopper.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
Eric Bana. And man, he's scary in that movie. Like, just any time he walks into a room and meets new characters, you want to cover your eyes.
That's effective. All right.
I watched The African Queen.
Great film.
Oh, I love that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Is it November it's coming out on DVD?
Yep.
Definitely the best scene was the scene where they were on a boat.
And he had the Lonely Island playing in the background. It was amazing.
Yeah. And there was a few things I watched on Blu-ray this week.
Cool.
I revisited, for some reason, Beowulf on Blu-ray.
How'd it hold up?
I really do not remember the movie being that violent.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah, it's probably because it was the director's cut. There was a little more, but still, it's pretty, violent.
Playing hide the egg roll with various objects. Yeah. It was there. Also, come on.
Moving on. I rewatched the entire Kill Bill saga.
Cool.
On Blu-ray?
Yeah.
How does that look?
That's pretty good, I'd say. You definitely see the wrinkles in Michael Madsen's face, but yeah, it's definitely very good. And it's interesting because before the show we were talking about Inglourious Basterds, and we were talking about weren't we talking about how dialogue driven it is or something?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I don't understand how people can love Kill Bill. Volume 2, at least, and then are going to be like, oh, that Death Proof was so boring. Like, there's probably just as much, if not more, talking in Kill Bill Volume 2, I'd say.
That's fair.
The thing is, it's the best dialogue being written right now. You know, if you don't like Tarantino's dialogue, then you can just take your Transformers 2 dialogue, which consists entirely of no, 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 and Sam. So,
don't hold back, Ethan.
Okay, moving on. I got a chance to see 500 Days of Summer.
Did you like it?
I loved it. Like, I'm kind of aware that I'm sort of the target audience of the movie, and it was kind of manufactured, like, exclusively for me, but still, I bought into it, and I really loved it.
And you just saw that too, right, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was great. It was really just from start to finish, the way they did it, the way that it was cut together, and the flash forward back through. I mean, it just is a beautifully done film.
Yeah, I can see why like Barry wasn't a big fan, because it's easy to either you're going to buy into what they do or you don't. And
Barry,
I can see it going either
stands
way.
Alone
and proud.
I do.
Nothing wrong with that. All right, sir.
And last thing, I saw Mad Men Season 2.
Oh.
Is that not just like the most phenomenal show?
It is. Oh, my God. Like, first season, excellent. This, even better. Like, it's just I remember you saying earlier that it is kind of like a soap opera. But the thing is, it has so much dramatic subtlety that it works so well. And it's so powerful. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's an amazing show. Yeah, I love that show.
John Hamm's the man.
He is. All right, well, let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this weekend.
This weekend, you've got Judd Apatow's film, currently number one movie in America, although maybe not for long, Funny People. Also opening up Ashley Tisdale's latest cinematic assault, Aliens in the Attic, The Collector, which no one saw. In limited release, you have Adam with Hugh Dancy and Tron Legacy hottie Rose Byrne, and also the documentary The Cove, which is supposed to be terrific.
So I'll just get the obligatory joke out of the way. So I'm guessing they're aliens and they're in an attic.
Mm.
Okay.
Yes.
And now you don't have to see the movie.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I just saved myself $8.
A public service brought to you by ScreenGeeks.com.
Oh, wait. I can you just pause the show? I have to do something right now.
I'll take it in. So Funny People. I'm guessing that's one that we all saw pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, can I go first? I have a lot to say.
Sure.
Okay, first I want to talk about the experience of seeing this movie in the theater.
Okay, I'm a little scared.
I saw this at the Varsity Theater in Toronto.
Okay.
Which has this option called the VIP, which is a little more money, but the thing is there's a restaurant in the same mall where you can get $7 off. So anyway, it was reasonably cheap. Anyway. We went there, and the way it is, it's set up, it's 20 seats. They're all leather chairs.
Okay.
And there's little tables between you, right, where you can, like, put stuff.
It's like the landmark.
And there's people who come in who can get you food. But downside of this is, in such a contained area, you can hear people very clearly.
In the area with you or in the regular audience?
In, like, just in the audience, like, okay. Like, because it's very contained. And there was this woman in the movie, you know, people who sometimes they quote a line from a movie, like when they find it funny, they're like, ha, 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 oh, Jonah Hill or something like that, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, there was a woman who she would just do this probably like, it started out like probably every 10 minutes, but then it gradually became probably every single minute of the movie. And it was very, and she wasn't just whispering it; she was saying it at full volume. And the thing, like, there was a, there, you know, the Eminem and Ray Romano cameo.
Yeah,
the point where Eminem's like, "I thought everybody loved you," and she said out loud, "Everybody loves Raymond."
Wow.
Mm.
And you didn't physically harm this person?
And I really just was, like, getting very impatient. And you can imagine this over 2.5 hours. But you know, I'm Canadian, so I was polite, and I did nothing. Anyway, on to the movie. I thought this movie was really good. It's 20 minutes too long, I'd say. But there's something I want to bring up. Obviously, this movie's trying to emulate James L. Brooks, right? And I recently saw James L. Brooks' movie Broadcast News.
Yeah.
And that movie, it's pretty long. But there's a scene in the movie where Holly Hunter and Albert Brooks' character go to South America to cover Civil War.
Yeah.
And I can see how so many people would be like, oh, just cut that scene out, you know, get another showing per day. But the thing is, that scene is such just a nice little building block of their relationship in the movie that I wouldn't cut it out for anything. And I think this movie has a lot of scenes like that. Again, it's too long, but like after the movie, my mom's boyfriend said, oh, it should have been 1 hour and 15 minutes long.
Whoa. I was like,
what? That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Mm. This movie is obviously, you know, it's ambitious. It's reaching for something higher than just Zohan, for example.
Right.
So, yeah, you guys go and talk now. I've talked enough.
Did you see this, Chris?
No, I didn't. I had a chance to, but I'm telling you, after the Comic-Con, I was like, man, I just don't feel in the mood to go anywhere.
That's understandable.
or do anything.
Fair enough. Barry, what'd you think of it?
Well, I appreciate you bringing a Broadcast News. It's one of my favorites. And I think the James L. Brooks things comparison is very apt. This movie is about character. It's not about jokes, even though there's enough of it. For all the complaints about this movie, certainly the mainstream audiences have, it's too long, it's too serious, it's too dark. I think the most important things are is that I thought it was freaking hilarious, one of the funniest movies of the year, and I thought the performances were excellent. Like I was telling Dave earlier, if this movie were out at Christmas time, I think we'd be talking award nominations. Even Seth Rogen is wonderful in this movie. The performances are fantastic. For all the things I could carp about, I totally agree with you, Ethan. This is a character film. I would compare it to Punchline, about the pain of being a stand-up comedian, and I would also compare it to Scorsese's The King of Comedy. This is, at times, the movie is so honest that it's really painful and it's hard to watch at times, and I love that about it. I think this is one of the most engrossing films of the year, and I applaud Universal for releasing this and Public Enemies, two movies that, you know, are for adults, released as so-called summer movies. But this is a high caliber of film.
Yep. Andy,
I didn't get to see it. I'm leaving here.
Oh, you didn't. Okay, you're going to see it. Okay,
to see this movie following.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. I think you'll dig it. I'm not entirely certain that the problem with the movie is that it was too long. My problem with the film was the transition into the third act, into the final act involving Eric Bana. For some reason, it just didn't feel organic. Kind of like in Knocked Up, after they break up, it just kind of, well, we got to do something from here, and they just kind of like make it up as they go along. Ends up being a good story. I think Funny People's a great movie. Well, no, it's not a great movie. It's a very good movie. That lack of a good transition keeps it from being great, I think. Mm. But I think it's very well done. It's well worth checking out. As long as you're fine with plenty of dick jokes, then...
But I gotta say, less dick jokes than The Ugly Truth. The Ugly Truth has the C word in it 10 times more, and it's far more
the
graphic.
The female or the male?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah, Ugly Truth is a much more foul, much, much more foul, hard R movie than Funny People. I'm not kidding.
But Funny People, it's a good movie. It's well worth checking out. And the funny thing is, you watch that stupid Yo Teach segments. Oh my gosh, that's like
dead on.
It's like That's So Raven. You know?
Well, even the merman scenes, it's like those scenes are brilliant because they're not funny. Because just like, I mean, Zohan and Bedtime Stories, they're not funny. But you know, the redo scene and the merman scene, those are perfect because they look.
Are you talking about
exactly
the redo sex scene having to do with merman?
Oh, no, I wasn't talking about that.
That was hilarious.
No, I was talking about the Justin Long scene.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, we got to find that wizard. Yeah, that was good.
Yes, there's a lot to like about this movie. I would highly recommend it. I think it is, for me, I think 40-year-old Virgin is better consistently.
Mm.
You know, it's a good film consistently all the way through, but I think Funny People is probably my favorite Apatow film, easily.
This is my favorite just because, for me, this is the transition film. Like, for Ivan Reitman, he did Meatballs and Stripes, which were very funny, but let's face it, juvenile. And then he did Ghostbusters and showed that he could make a real film that tries a lot of stuff, a lot of different things. Not all of it works, but for the most part, it was brilliant. And that's how I felt about this movie. It tries a lot of different things. Not everything is smooth, and I agree with you, Dave. The transitions are very rough at times. But because it's so ambitious and because it's so smart, and I found it very, very engrossing. I really dug it.
So why does everyone think this is not doing well at the box office? Is it because it's the quote-unquote, another quote-unquote serious Adam Sandler movie?
That, and because, you know, $23 million can't compete with the Bedtime Stories opening of the Zohan or the Chuck and Larry opening. But, I mean...
But it's so much better than those movies.
It is. Well, we've talked about that. I mean, Rain Over Me and Spanglish are very good films.
Yeah.
And you know, Punch Drunk Love also. But... You know, audiences, for the most part, don't like to see Sandler do pain, even though he does it so brilliantly and so honestly, better than some of his contemporary dramatic actors.
Well, yeah. it bugs me, too, that people are going to be, you know, complaining about the length of this, yet they're sitting through 2.5 hours of racist robots and loving it.
I love how we can always go back to Transformers 2 with everything that's wrong with movies today. I love that. I really do.
What's wrong with society?
Transformers 2.
It's all their fault. Okay. So yeah, it's pretty much universal. Everyone go see Funny People.
Yeah.
What's hitting DVD this week? And I'm gonna change up the order a little bit on the fly here. So.
Absolutely. This week on DVD, you've got Flight of the Conchords Season 2. Great show. A film I like very much. Dwayne Johnson, Carla Gugino, hey. Race to Witch Mountain, a fun movie. The Soloist, Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx. One of the worst films of the year, Obsessed, starring Beyoncé Knowles, Idris Elba of The Office, he's great in that show, and Ali Larter, who can't act. Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. Season 3, good show.
Yes.
Yes. Daffy Duck's Quackbusters, a lot of fun.
I may have to get that.
Oh, yeah, if you're Looney Tunes completist, you got to. Mutant Chronicles, the long-delayed film with John Malkovich, Ron Perlman, and Thomas Jane, and a movie that gets a lot of mention on this show, Lindsay Lohan and Labor Pains.
Three shows in a row we've mentioned that movie, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, if anybody is pushing that movie, it's us.
For all the wrong reasons.
They should put us in the DVD box.
So we're pushing Labor Pains?
Hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That hurt even me.
That's wittier than anything in the movie. So.
Probably, and that is just so very sad. Okay, now, Mr. Stiff, I know that you are on a time crunch,
yes.
So I figure why don't we just jump into the Comic-Con, do our topic, and then we'll do news after the break. So,
sure.
Comic-Con was this past weekend. Insanity was had by all. More people than should had any business being in one building at a time. And lots of sparkles.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, it was just a riot.
Do we want to break this up by panels? Or?
I don't know. I mean, you and Andy, how do you want to just kind of talk about the overall experience and then go in
day
depth
by
from
day,
there?
Or?
Yeah, it doesn't really. We can do whatever you want to do.
Okay,
because panels, but we can go per day: Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Let's
like
do
that.
Let's start with that.
Well, let's start with the overall thing. Is Comic-Con getting way too crowded?
Yes. I don't know what you thought, but I think it's too crowded.
So, wait, so next year will we have to bring lightsabers to, like, get our way through?
Well, flamethrowers would be preferable, but yes.
Yeah. What'd you think, Chris?
I'd say yeah, too, but, you know, this hasn't differed any year than this would be my sixth year going in a row, and I didn't really notice a difference in the quantity of people. I mean, it is still, I mean, it, even from the first year, it is a mass of people. You are waiting... You're waiting and waiting in line for everything.
Probably 70% of your trip is spent waiting in line.
Yes.
Wait, guys, would you kind of compare it yourselves to like Jeremy Renner in The Hurt Locker, how you're like addicted to the adrenaline of Comic-Con?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Without question.
Because as much as I sit here complaining about how much I waited, I loved it.
It's like Disneyland that way.
Yeah, that's
like, we don't remember waiting in line. We just remember being on the Dumbo ride.
Yeah, well, I remember having to wait an hour to go on Space Mountain for 3 minutes. But dang it, I did it and I had fun.
That's
and
right.
For me, the whole waiting part got worse. And I don't want to say this to offend any of the listeners, but it got more annoying because of a lot of the Twilight people. They're there waiting in line. So the
Twilight
waiting became a lot worse because we had to get there so much earlier and prepare so much more to be in Hall H for the panels because of that.
And to be clear here, now we talked about this a little bit before we started recording. You have to respect the geek
Oh, I absolutely, yeah, absolutely respect the passion that they have for what they love. They love Twilight. They want to be there. They want to see the stars. They want to see what the movie's all about. And I respect that. But it's extremely annoying for me because I could care less about Twilight.
Fair enough. So shall we just start with Thursday? Yeah. Or Wednesday was preview night.
Wednesday was preview night. There was nothing really on Wednesday night as far as panels go. They unveiled the Green Hornet card. Okay. Seth Rogen was there. So that was pretty cool. Really, Wednesday night, nothing really goes on except for you get to see the show floor and walk nice. Around and get some exclusive looks and stuff. Roman Chavez, who's the owner of the Fanboys website, is obsessed with toys.
Oh.
And so you can get the you know, the
all exclusive the toys.
Yeah, so cool. We get to go and look at a lot of that stuff. So preview night's fun, but it's more of a get ready because you're in for a ride for the rest of the week kind of night.
The relative calm before the storm.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when did you get in, Chris?
I got in Thursday morning. I got Thursday morning, so I literally hit the ground running from like 8:05 a.m. when I landed into the rest of the day on Thursday.
Okay. So did you hit many of the panels at all on Thursday, or was it?
You know, I didn't. I didn't. And I did go to the Masters of the Web panel at 10 a.m. on Thursday. And then, you know, and it's frightening because now I can't think of what else I did on Thursday, because most of my day, I really can't. The rest of my days were filled up with, you know, Friday and Saturday. But it really was one big sort of blur right after that, because I didn't go to any panels on Thursday after that Mash of the Web panel.
Okay. So did you do interviews or?
Yes. I think I did one for, I believe it was for the Tron.
Cool.
Tron 2, I think.
Tron Legacy.
Tron Legacy.
Yes,
yeah.
Let's get this right.
Yeah. So it was like a sort of a press conference with Jeff Bridges and the other people who are kind of irrelevant to the whole rest of the press conference, because it's Jeff Bridges. He's the draw. You know, he's the guy who you know anchored this film decades ago. And it was exciting to be in that room with him and to be able to personally ask the dude a question. You know,
nice.
It's pretty thrilling.
Right on. So did you get to do many more, or should I kick over to Andy?
Yeah, you know, it was that, and then there was the Alice in Wonderland sort of press conference, and I think it was Friday, wasn't until the Disney stuff started appearing, but. You know, at least Thursday was just kind of a warm up for me for you know, the rest of the weekend.
Okay, so what did you do Thursday, sir?
Thursday morning, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning to go wait in line to get into Hall H, because a lot of the Twilight campers had stayed overnight, and so there was already about 1,500 people in line.
Wow!
At about 5 a.m.
Oh my gosh!
So we went over and we got in line. We waited and we got into Hall H. And
what time did you get in?
They let us in. The first panel was at 11, so they let us in at around 10-ish.
It's a lot of waiting.
It's a ton of waiting, and there's a lot of people that have to crowd control, so they usually don't get you in right when you're supposed to get in. But we eventually did get in, and the Disney panel was the first panel of the day, and that was the Tron Legacy. It was a live-action panel. They saved their animation for the next day on Friday, but they had Tron Legacy, Alice in Wonderland, and... I'm trying to think what else is there. Well, those are the big two for that.
Mm-hmm. Did they show Princess and the Frog? Or
That was on the Friday for the animation stuff.
Okay.
So what we saw for Alice in Wonderland, we got to see an extended trailer, a little bit more than the teaser that was released. I think it was last week.
Was there even more Johnny Depp?
Yeah, it's clearly they're banking this movie on the fact that everyone loves Johnny Depp. I mean, if you've seen the teaser,
yeah.
He's the only actor listed in the teaser, so it's a lot of Johnny Depp and Tim Burton, and hope that brings people in. But we got to see an extended clip, and I thought it looked a lot better than the teaser that we got to see. There were some extra scenes that I thought it was, what I saw was, I was impressed, and it got me a little bit more excited than the teaser, and I wish they would release that extra footage, because I think a lot of people would enjoy it a little bit more.
Okay.
Cool.
And Johnny Depp made a surprise appearance. He didn't say anything. He walked out on stage to standing ovation, and then he walked off stage with Tim Burton.
That's great.
It's the epitome of what Alice in Wonderland is all about.
He is a rock star.
He is absolutely a rock star at Comic-Con. Yeah. People loved him. So we saw that. The Tron Legacy stuff was more of the same, really, from last year. Some concept art for the some of the games they're going to have within the Tron universe in the next movie.
And you like the live action footage they showed?
They showed one scene where Flynn's son had walked into the arcade, and he was kind of messing around with some of the arcade machines, and then the music started going off from the jukebox. It was
nice.
I think it's that Journey song. I can't remember what it's called.
Don't Stop Believing? Or
no, it's like,
it's the one from the first one, right?
Yeah, it's the same song. It starts playing, and you know, everyone in the audience is getting really excited. You know, listen to this, and that. So, and then the Tron machine opens up, and he walks behind it, and then it ends. The scene was in. So it was only about a 3-minute scene, but it was really the only thing they've had for us as far as actual scene from the movie. So it really didn't show very much, but it got me excited enough to, you know, with a new title, the Tron Legacy title, and then as well as an unconfirmed 2010 release date is what they're shooting for. And I think they're going to be going for that Christmas time slot for that. So
I'd be okay with that.
So yeah. I think they're going to use a lot of Avatar, which we'll get to later, I'm sure, but a lot of that, how Avatar does in that slot, is where they're going to try and fit theirs in next year. So.
Sure.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was the Tron Legacy.
Did they do the Joe Dante thing during that panel too?
No.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Never mind.
So they had another movie, but obviously it wasn't very good. I don't remember it. I was very excited about the Legacy and about Alice in Wonderland. So that was really good.
Wait, didn't they show Christmas Carol?
Christmas Carol, that's right. Thank you. That Christmas Carol was, it looked like it's going to be a scary movie to me. Ooh, it was intense. It was really intense. It was very intense. If you have ever been to Hall H, they turn the volume up as loud as it can possibly go so that you are completely engulfed in this atmosphere there. So, you know, a lot of the ghosts look, it looks really, really, Jim Carrey, I don't know if anyone knows this, but he plays something like 8 to 10 roles in the film. So everything they showed for that looked good. It didn't wow me. I wasn't like blown away by it. You know, we've kind of seen this kind of thing before with the CGI type cast. But it'll be good. It's a Christmas movie coming out in Christmas, so it's impossible to not make money, especially, you know, with Jim Carrey attached to it. So. That'll be good. So that was the whole Disney panel. Those are the three live action Disney movies that they did.
And then we get to the highlight of your day, right?
Right. It was Twilight. That was next.
Yes. Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was. It's like going to an NSYNC concert. I've never been to an NSYNC concert, so don't judge me there. But the girls, when he comes out, the guy who plays Jacob Black, I don't know, is
Tyler Lauder.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you know that, Dave?
Because his name's been popping up all over the place. You can't get away from it if you wanted to.
So they showed another scene from Twilight, and I've never read the books, but it's a scene where he's trying to teach Bella how to ride a motorcycle, and she starts going, and then for some reason she sees these weird visions of Edward, who's the other main guy in the movie, and then she crashes. And then Jacob, his character in the movie, runs up to her and he says, "You're bleeding." And then he takes his shirt off to dab the blood off of her forehead. So in two scenes, so we're two for two on scenes that he removes his shirt and the girls go crazy. So
he's totally like this generation's Matthew McConaughey.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's going to be, I mean, the scene was atrocious. It was horrible. The only reason they cheered is because he took his shirt off. I'm convinced of that. You know, like I said earlier, you have to appreciate the passion, but it's just not going to be a good movie. There's not a chance. And it's going to make more opening weekend than most other movies will this year, so.
Yeah, yeah, the big fluffy dog, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But after Twilight, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to cover Twilight more.
We can get into it if you want to. No, I'm good.
Was the Avatar.
Okay.
Avatar panel. We got to see, it was James Cameron's first appearance at Comic-Con. And we got to see 24 minutes of footage from the
film.
That's a lot. Yeah.
You get a real feel for the movie after 24 minutes.
It was really good. It was probably the most beautiful thing I've ever seen put to film. It was in 3D. Hall H was 3D rendered this year. So, but what I heard coming out of that is that a lot of mixed reviews from what you saw in the footage. You didn't get to see any of the human interaction with the Na'vi, who was the local culture on this planet called Pandora, I think it is. And so you didn't get to see any human interaction with that. This was a very strictly CGI film reel that we got to see, kind of trying to get everyone into the idea that it's 70% something like that CGI and only 30% humanity interacting with that CGI. So, but it was really good. It was so beautiful, and Sam Worthington does a really good job. And then the girl that's in it, she was also
Zoe Saldana. Zoe,
yes, beautiful. Oh, she's beautiful. She had to learn a whole new language for this movie. What James Cameron has talked about in the press conference that he was doing is that for this culture, they had created a whole new language, a new atmosphere for this whole world. They really got really deep into what the world is to them, and there's so much depth to this film that a lot of people aren't going to be able to appreciate it. A lot of the average movie watcher is not going to be able to go to that and say, wow, he really puts this much into this movie. I mean, this is essentially a 10-year project. He said he wrote the script probably 10, 11, 12 years ago. So it's going to be really good. The footage was absolutely amazing. And then they announced the Avatar Day, which I believe is August 21st.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of local theaters are trying to get as many IMAXs across the country and digital 3D theaters they can get to screen 15 minutes of this footage as their big push to get you to come see it this Christmas. So,
and just as clarification, you actually work at one of our local theaters.
I do.
And you don't know any more than anyone else about how they're doing this.
There's really been no details released other than you're going to have the footage, and that's all we have for right now. So really from there, if you can check into your theaters wherever you are, this definitely would be footage worth seeing. If you can go see this 15 minutes, I really think you're going to see it and really want to go watch the movie in December when it comes out. So,
right. I have a quick question. Zoe plays an alien in the movie, doesn't she?
Yes, she
did
does.
You get to see her in the alien form in the footage?
Yes.
Is it
it's beautiful. Pretty impressive? I mean, it's impressive.
Yeah.
Very. It's probably the most impressive CGI that you'll ever see. It looks so real. It's impossible to look at the character and say there's not a chance. I mean, everything about it, it feels real. The interaction, but you know, in the characters, it feels real. It is really impressive. Like I can't understate how impressive it really looked, because it was very, very impressive. And that's why I really want to encourage everyone to go watch this 15 minutes if they can, if you're able to, because it would really change your opinion about this movie, because no one's seen anything yet outside of the Comic-Con and then the Cine Expo that they had too. No one's seen anything from this movie except for still shots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really going to be worth your time.
Right on. Cool. Did you do much else on Thursday? Or
After Avatar, I left. I didn't get to see the Kick-Ass panel with Matthew Vaughn or Pandorum. I left to go see a screening of District 9.
Which Chris was at, too.
Were you at that screening, Chris?
Yeah, I was. I was there.
What did you think?
I know you guys are under embargo, so say only what you're allowed to say.
Please. Yeah. It was good. I really enjoyed myself and was just knocked over with the level of effects work that's in this movie. I think this is almost like the Halo movie that they wanted to make but didn't, so they came up with this. I think it was a sort of an inspired choice with the way they decided to shoot the film, sort of a document, you know, sort of an office slash document, you know, documentary style. I think that there was just something off, and I still can't figure out what that little piece was for me that prevented this from being just an unbelievably great movie.
Hmm. Now, from what I've heard, like, it's a $30 million movie, and you can see all $30 million on that screen.
It's the is the best $30 million movie ever made.
Well, also from what I've heard, it's being compared to like RoboCop.
In terms of violence, I hear it's extremely violent.
It's extremely violent, but it's really well done. And the violence.
I like the smile on your face as you're talking about the
well,
gore.
Because it's. I don't think people have really expected it to be as violent as it was. Yeah. And then without getting into too much detail, when it all hit the fan, people were cheering and laughing when things would happen in the movie violently. So. Everyone really was, I don't know how you felt, but I really felt like everyone really got into the movie. Everyone really bought into it. And like he said, the documentary feel to it, it had kind of a Cloverfield feel to it at parts where, mm-hmm. you know, with the handheld camera without getting too annoying with it.
Minus HUD.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was a really, really good movie. I think it's going to make a ton of money just because with how little they spent on it. And then with the response that I've heard from everyone I haven't heard anybody walk out of watching District 9 and say they didn't like it yet. So there's a lot of positive buzz coming out of Comic-Con from that movie.
Right on. Anything you wanted to add about it at all, Chris? Or?
No, but I got to interview the lead and the director, Neil Blomkamp, this week, and it was neat to hear them talk about it. And I'm hopefully going to get that. I think it's, the 14th when it hits? Hopefully I'll be able to have it put up by then. But just to hear them talk about it, too, just makes you wonder that this is probably the best-looking, quote-unquote, independent movie that was ever made.
Very cool. So I'm guessing he's sick of. I mean, from reading about the Halo talk, I'm sure he's sick of talking about Halo ever again.
Probably.
Well, we sat down with him. I don't know when you interviewed him. We sat down with him on Monday, and talked to Blomkamp, and all the questions were real. He had the impression that a lot of it was Halo related, like what's coming out of it. So I think he's kind of annoyed by it because this is his project that he wrote. So.
Well, Andy, Chris, I got to ask you guys really, really quick. Is this movie, do you think, in your opinion, does it have massive crossover appeal? Or is this one of these Comic-Con things that's going to be like another Snakes on a Plane where it's not going to play outside of the fanboy community? What do you think?
I think it's going to be big.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's either going to go Grindhouse or 300, pretty much.
Well, as far as it's so hard. It's just so hard to judge because when you're at Comic-Con, everyone's so excited about things like this, you know, and then you come back and you really don't know how to gauge the general audience in a place where everyone's not just jonesed about what they're about to see. So, I work at a movie theater, and I've been writing for Fanboys for a while. I just feel like this is going to be a big movie. I don't think people are going to go watch it and they're going to tell their friends to go see it. And then they're going to tell their friends to go see it because it's a really, really good movie. It's impossible to not enjoy it. It's just it really is hard to not enjoy District 9.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah, I gotta believe that it's gonna hit. It's gonna strike a nerve with someone. But I'm at a loss to try to really determine whether or not this thing has legs or not because it's so unlike anything I've ever seen.
Hmm.
That I'm just it's a. It's just a wonder that it got made and was sort of, like I said, independent as it was. I couldn't say for sure. This one's like kind of got me locked up. I don't even know.
Fair enough. Cool. Right. Well, shall we move on to Friday then? Sounds like you were pretty busy that day, Chris. I'll let you kick that one off.
Man, I'll tell you.
What you can talk about, I'll put it that way. I know you've got a lot of content you got to post.
Yeah, I'm still wading through it. Friday was the Disney animation, which was great because I got to talk to one of the guys behind Toy Story 3. And I'll tell you, I don't know why they brought this idiot aboard because he sat down in front of us and said, "Hey, I just came onto the project 9 months ago," and we tried to do roundtables with him, and almost every answer was like, "Well, I'm pretty sure, yeah, I'm kind of still new to all this," and it was almost like a complete waste of our time to even talk to the guy. But he did mention that the sort of the plot behind the movie was, and I thought this was actually rather interesting news, that he was making this film, or at least the film itself was going to be how, Andy is actually going off to college. So it's not like, Andy's still a little boy. He's actually, older and ready to leave. So I think there's going to be a lot of sort of emotional sort of pings that are going to be happening, around that.
Cool.
I hate to say that every time I hear people say this, it's like he's moving on to other toys. So it means it's going to turn into Lars and the Real Girl or something.
You said he's now a full grown boy, I'm like, that cuts out like 20% of the opening weekend audience.
Oh, dude.
That's just awful.
Welcome back to the show, Chris.
Yeah, no kidding. And moving on. No. I think that the second highlight was talking to John Lasseter and Miyazaki regarding I don't want to say it. How do you say it? Ponyo?
Ponyo,
yeah.
Miyazaki, yeah.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Just a brilliant man to talk to, and I think the movie itself is wonderful, and it's just great to be able to talk to a luminary like Lasseter and what he's been able to, do with Pixar, for as many years as he's been working there. So outside of that, I can't think of anything right now, so let me try to...
You'll chime in as you think of stuff?
Yeah, I will. I will.
Fair enough.
Hey. First panel of the day was the Warner Brothers panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I, after reflecting back on Comic-Con, I feel like this was probably one of the best panels of the whole con. They did a lot of stuff. They had the Book of Eli was there with Denzel Washington and Gary Oldman. And...
And you know, Oldman screamed with the audience. Yeah,
he dropped his little nugget about Batman 3.
Yeah.
So the Book of Eli kind of has, if you've ever played the game Fallout 3, on it kind of has the same feel to it, you know, end of the world type stuff. And this man has a book that's going to save the world. The footage looked really good, and it was really great interaction with the Oldman and Denzel. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to bring on screen together, because they're both really high profile actors.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. I was most impressed with that, I guess. Jonah Hex looks awesome.
Wait, about that. Don't you think it's weird that they're getting Josh Brolin to play, like, start a biopic of the fat kid from Superbad?
Oh gosh, dude, that was a little that was reaching, sir. That was a reach.
Took me a minute. Jonah Hex looks good. You know, Megan Fox is in Jonah Hex, so there's going to
Megan Fox looks good. So
there's going to be a lot of like negative thing, because I don't like Megan Fox. I don't, you know, she's attractive or whatever, but she's never acted to date.
No.
So
sounds like that's not changing with Jennifer's body. So yeah.
So we'll see. The Jonah Hex looks really, really, really good. Brolin looks like a total badass in that movie, and I'm really excited to see what they do with it. It could be a big hit, you know, with that Western feel to it. There's not a lot of good. I think the last one I would say is probably like Wild Wild West. They did something like this, where it's just a real big scale action film in the Western,
but good setting. This time.
But real, but good this time, right?
Okay.
So I was excited about Jonah Hex.
Before you go on from there, it's very interesting that DC is, Warner Brothers is going with these second and third tier characters like Jonah Hex and Green Lantern.
Yeah.
As opposed to just going full bore on Wonder Woman movie.
Aquaman.
Yeah, there's that too. Okay, yeah. It's just interesting to point out. I like the fact that they have that enough faith in their characters to kind of go that route, that they know that they have more than the big three.
Well, and maybe too it has to do with the fact that there's so much set up about Wonder Woman and Superman, and that there's a lot of expectation with that, whereas Jonah Hex isn't as widely read.
It's true.
And there's a lot of baggage with the other two as well.
Right. So maybe they can do something a little bit more original and new, you know, outside of the comics with the character. So
fair enough.
The movie that I probably come out of Comic-Con without actually watching, because I got to see District 9, the most excited about was Where the Wild Things Are.
Oh, yay. So good.
They showed, I think, three features, like three or four-minute segments. They didn't have any. No one was there except for the boy that was the star of the movie.
Really? Spike Jones didn't come out or anything?
Nope, no one was there. But they showed a lot of... I mean, people were in tears in the audience watching some of this footage. Like, there's... It is going to be a killer good movie. I'm very, very excited to see what they do with that when it comes out. And they actually signed to IMAX to put it in IMAX theaters too. So
cool.
Awesome. There's a lot. Where the Wild Things Are, just what we saw, and I wish they would, you know, like I said, I wish they would show this to everyone, because it feels like I'm a kid again watching this movie. I mean, the feelings coming out of that is just wow. Like, I'm going to watch this and feel like a 10-year-old boy, and I'm going to love it, and it's going to be one of my favorite movies. I'm just so excited for this movie, and I really can't wait to have everyone else get to see the footage that we got to see.
Terrific.
So
cool. Yeah, every time I'm going to see the trailer, I'm like, I can't wait to see this.
Mm-hmm. So then there was the box with the...
which became famous not at all for the movie. Well, it was for the movie.
Right. Cameron Diaz spoiled the movie for everyone at Comic-Con.
You know, you always hear about how actors come off of these ditzy roles where you wonder if they're really like that in real life. Apparently the answer
apparently
is yes.
Apparently so, and I won't say what she said, but she said something, and Richard Kelly looked so upset that she had said what she said, and James Marsden looked a little stunned also. Everyone was just like, did she really just do that? Because I don't know the movie. I haven't seen the movie. I really don't know much about the plot itself outside of what we've already seen, but It feels like a big part of the movie has been ruined for me, and I will now no longer enjoy it at all when I go see it eventually. So,
you gotta feel bad for Richard Kelly.
Yes,
because this is after Southland Tales. This was like everyone's like he's getting back on track. I can't wait to see this next movie, and then, bam, flushed.
Well, and anybody that had covered or watched any coverage from Comic-Con, it was not the box is going to be good, or it's not the box is going to be fun to watch. It's Cameron Diaz ruined the box for everyone.
Man.
So
that's terrible.
I hate to laugh at that, but dang.
That's a shame. Kelly's been working on this for 2 years now. Yeah.
It just feels like he's destined to fail in Hollywood. It really
he's become
does.
The new Gilliam. Well, okay, maybe that's a little far, but yeah.
So we got to see the box. After that was the animation panel, but instead of going to the animation panel, I went over to the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles panel to see if I can get some kind of a scoop from the producers on the new Turtles movie that's coming out. So we really didn't get too much. It was it's the 25th anniversary for the Turtles.
That makes me feel so old.
Man. Right? But it's good, though. And they actually revealed some cool stuff. The director of the first, I think his name is Scott Bonner.
Of the TMNT
1990
movie?
1990.
Oh, the 1990 movie, Steve Barron.
Steve Barron. That's
yeah, Steve
it,
Barron.
Steve
yeah.
Barron. So he said that they're going to be putting together and releasing in the next year a director's cut version of the original Turtles film.
Terrific.
He said he's got a lot of footage that he didn't put into the original movie. They wants to put it all together and then run it again on like Blu-ray. So they're trying to put that together, which
awesome.
Is really cool. So, and then also, okay. The producers for the new one didn't get into too much detail. They only have a writer. But they said that it will be a darker version of the movie. It will kind of go back to the way the 1990 version felt.
Mm-hmm. Which is closer to the comics.
Yeah.
Right, which if you've ever read any of the original comics, it is a very dark.
Oh, yeah. You got foot soldiers getting decapitated, and they ain't robots.
Right. So yeah. It's going to have a darker feel to it. They promised us all that. So I'm really just some of the a few tidbits of information that they've gave us. I'm very excited to see where they're going to go with that movie. Cool. So that was for Friday. That was it for me on Friday.
Cool. Did you have anything else, Chris?
Yeah, I got to go to the Wrath of Khan party.
Oh,
nice.
Don't talk
oh, did,
to me
yeah.
about the Wrath of
did,
Khan party.
Oh, did you see the Farachi thing? Didn't he like have some little spat there with someone?
You know, if he did, I didn't see it or didn't hear about it.
I heard he got into it with Vic over at Screen Rant, I think.
Yes, that is what happened. Word on the street.
Is that what happened?
I believe it was. I don't know the details, but I just heard that there was some kind of a...
altercation?
Yes, slight altercation. I was the last one. I was the first one out of the Wrath. I was on the list, ready to go in, and the security guard came out, and he said, no more.
Over
no more
capacity.
People. So we didn't get to get into the Wrath of Khan party.
Hmm.
So how was it, Chris?
It was okay. It was good. I think there was a lot more expectations. There were going to be a lot more celebs than there actually were. I think in total I saw like Robert Englund, like Olivia Munn, Seth Green, Bud Bundy, El Presidente.
David
Terry
Faustino,
Cruz.
You mean?
Yeah. And,
poor guy.
It was... Not what I thought. Well, you know, it was great because I got to hang out with some really great people of the Joe Blow movie podcast. It was great
Nice. Talking
to hanging with them. So you know, just like hanging out with like regular people, but lack of quote unquote talent, as it were, on that regard. But I did get to interview the people behind Mystery Team. If you're familiar with that,
yay.
I spent a lot of time with the Mystery Team guys on Sunday evening, which we will not put on the podcast.
Okay, we'll leave that alone.
Yeah, great people, good people, good people. I got to actually do it in the Wired Cafe. I don't know if you made it over there, but free drinks, free stuff. It was almost... I think it was actually the one place where I could get water that wasn't like $8 for a... 12 ounces.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Before we move on to the next day, did you guys see the Princess and the Frog footage?
I didn't. I wasn't even able to crack Hall H until Saturday. And
okay.
I didn't feel like I actually tweeted about it. I was in line.
You're like,
and,
screw the line.
Friday. I did. I said, screw the line. Screw this. I'm out of here. I'm not waiting, 3 hours to get in to see this. And went over to, I think, DC booth and I think I won a Spike Jonze Comic-Con themed t-shirt for Where the Wild Things Are, which was pretty sweet.
Great.
So I'm just not down. I'm not 12 anymore. I don't expect to be treated any different. But, you know, if I'm there trying to cover this thing and you're going to make me wait hours on end just to see the stuff, forget about it. I'll do something else.
Fair enough.
I didn't get to see any of the footage because I went to the Turtles panel. So.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Cool. All right.
And when, Saturday.
I'm guessing no one went to the Futurama panel.
I did not.
Okay, I heard about it and it was a disaster.
I did get to meet the guy that voices Bender, though.
Oh, nice. DiMaggio?
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh,
that's
and Marcus cool. Phoenix. Gears of War.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, Saturday, when even more insanity breaks loose. Andy, why don't you go first this time around?
Well, Saturday for me was different because I got to do I was out doing interviews all day. So okay. I didn't even actually get into the Iron Man 2 panel. No one really got into that once the hall was full the morning. It stayed full all day. But I got to do a lot of interviews for the second Boondock Saints movie.
I was going to ask you about that. Great, great.
It's going to come out this November, I believe, and it is straight to DVD.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of sad, but yeah. At the same time, it's going to be good. I'm really excited. They showed a trailer for it. I got to interview Sean Patrick Flannery and Norman for that one. So, and that
great.
Was, and we actually Connolly was there too, which was cool. And Troy Duffy was also there. So
here's a real piece of work. I saw that documentary on him. He's a kind of a hothead, or did he come across kind of cool? Or
I don't know. He was interesting. You can just tell that. When he writes and directs this movie, that he like fully believes that this is how it should be, so he's kind of a little bit crazy in that sense. I'm really excited to see what this movie is going to bring to us.
Footage look good?
It looks really good. They have basically the story. They didn't really again tell much details, but the story is going to be the brothers go back to Ireland after the first movie. Mm-hmm. And then 10 years later, something happens in Boston that calls for a response from the brothers to come back to America. And we were led to believe that it was something like a copycat, maybe, or something like that. So they're going to come back to America, and they're going to kill everyone and and save the day again for Boston. So
they're going to kill Boston. Okay.
The guy that plays Rocco, I don't know if you remember the first movie.
I can't remember which actor that was.
It's the one with the long hair, gets killed. Okay, so anyway, he's back in this movie.
Okay.
Everyone was really curious at how he's coming back, so there's going to be some kind of a, what we figure is like a godlike scene where they're dreaming and he comes to them and gives them some kind of a divine message or something like that.
Is this Billy Connolly we're talking about? Or?
No. Okay. No, it was their friend, their annoying friend.
I mean, it's been a while since I've seen him.
So he's coming back. Billy Connolly's obviously in it. Clifton Collins Jr. is in the movie as well. And cool. He takes over the role of a third saint, Boondock Saint. He joins the brothers, I guess, in their quest to cleanse streets. So I'm really excited. The interviews I got were all really, really good, and it was really good to hear about this movie because I've been looking forward to it for quite a while. I'm interested to see how it's going to do because it is straight to DVD, and with the cult following that the first one had, I want to know, you know, how that's going to affect this release of this movie because they all seem really excited about it, like it was really good, and the footage we saw looked like it could have easily been released in the theaters, but just for some reason no one picked up on it. So I don't know. It's going to be really good. I'm really excited for that. That was really all I did on Saturday was the Boondock Saints 2 stuff. So
cool. Chris?
Yeah, interviews all day.
Did you get your yearly talk with Zach Levi?
Yeah, I did. Got to do that in his hotel room, which was pretty neat.
Wow, okay.
He's just a great, great guy. And one of those guys you just, you know, you root for and... You know, he's doing a great job with trying to keep the, you know, the franchise, you know, I shouldn't say franchise, but, you know, just the show going. So, you know, just a big fan of him.
And I told you on Twitter, I've restarted that show because it had the unenviable position of being after Heroes when Heroes started sucking. So I got behind and started watching it again, and that show is just so stinking good.
Right.
I love Chuck.
It is. It's great. And he's just a... just should be commended for coming out and again just sort of being the sort of spokesperson and really getting after it and trying to get people to see it. I think my day started with a Park Chan-wook from Thirst interview with him, which was neat. Yeah. It was really neat being able to talk to him. You know, very, very brilliant fellow. Then after that, moving on to, I don't remember what else. Mike Daughtry, from the writer of X2, who did Trick or Treat. That movie that's going to come out on DVD come October.
Finally.
Yeah, no kidding. So it was great being able to talk to him about his thoughts about, you know, being shelved for so long. Then got to actually head over for to Extract, the Extract panel. Actually got access of my own. I just followed Miramax Pictures and tweeted something and got a VIP pass to see the panel, which led me to be able to stay there for the Zombieland 2012 and Iron Man 2 panel.
Great.
But the Mike Judge was up, and it's great hearing him. At least seeing that he is a new film. Every film he does, it has some piece of brilliance in there. And I don't like when everyone starts asking really, really bad questions during the Q&A portion. Jason, I think, was asked what his worst job was ever, and he now infamously announced, he goes, "Everyone can access IMDb, right?" He said, "Just pick one." It's very self-effacing and realizing, where he's been and, the fact that he's now, he's great. And I don't know why he's been away for so long or what before, Arrested Development. He's a great actor. And then after that, 2012, completely, what a piece of
awesome
movie. It is an awful frigging movie. Ronald Emmerich should be lumped in with any other person who makes genre films like torture porn or he makes destruction porn basically. And the clip that they showed is just an aberration of cinema. He in a John Cusack in a limousine, narrowly avoiding the whole sinking of LA. Ooh, I'm gonna drive real fast and look how it all sort of falls down like a big comic.
Will it be as good as in Day After Tomorrow when Jake Gyllenhaal outruns freezing air?
Right, exactly. It's like, it's only 6 feet behind me. Look how fast. I'm just happened to go the same, at least a little bit faster than this whole natural disaster thing. People were like hooting and hollering, but it really it's just an insult to good film. He's like, whatever. If you're into that, super. Go have fun. But for someone like me, I just can't believe he's, again, he's going to destroy the world. Ha ha ha. But I was very impressed by Zombieland, a movie that I was kind of marginally interested in, but they showed an extended clip that looks pretty engaging, actually. Something I wouldn't mind, spending some money to see. I think if you're going to make a Shaun of the Dead ripoff and you want to make it, through the liver of a studio system and make it sort of, mass appealing, this is about as good as it's going to get. So, that's exciting. And then the Iron Man 2 panel. What can you say other than if you've already heard the sort of the funny intro of Jon Favreau showing the initial piece of footage, but it was all Iron Man footage, the very first one, and saying coming, 2010, Iron Man 2, and then Robert Downey Jr., coming out and saying, this is BS, people really want to see the real clip, and then they show the actual footage, and for him only rapping a week before, he really brought something that got me excited again to look forward to this film.
Please describe what you saw.
Oh, you haven't read? Have you read it yet?
Well, the description. A little bit.
Okay.
It was great because at first he's sitting in the Randy's Donuts, leg down, eating a donut, just hanging out, and Samuel L. Jackson, comes up and starts talking to him, and he's, Downey Jr.'s, rocking sunglasses. It's very all cool and chill, and he's talking about joining the quote-unquote boys band that is the Avengers, and then we have an extended scene of him in front of Congress talking about, you know, the Iron Man suit and how it's a war deterrent, and it's an extended scene really, because it wouldn't be in a trailer because it's awfully long, but it shows you that, you know, John's back with that same sort of, you know, humor, that sort of deadpan, you know, very very, you know, sort of, you know, I'm being serious but not kind of vibe from Downey Jr. And then we get into the real intense stuff with what's his name? The arms dealer in this movie. No, the arms dealer. Well, that's that too. Mickey Rourke looks just fantastic as as Whiplash, as he gets ready to, you know, he dons his sort of the version one Iron Man suit with the thing on the chest. Sort of, I mean, you've seen the promo pictures basically of Rourke, that thing sitting in the middle of his chest. But this, we got to actually see the whips at work as they hit the ground, you know, sparks flying everywhere. There's all electrified, and, you know, people were just losing their minds, you know, seeing this stuff. And then Sam Rockwell as the sort of the arms dealer going up to now Don Cheadle in a big warehouse, you know, basically saying, you know, I've got this gun, this, you know, mega destruction, I got this gun, mega destruction, I got this gun, you know, all sorts of insane destruction, which one do you want? And, you know, gets real quiet, and Cheadle's like, I want all of them. And then the next thing you see is War Machine flying and just, you know, unleashing, you know, an unholy fury of just, you know, artillery. And people just lost their ass completely over it.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so, I heard about the War Machine thing. I'm like, oh, I'm there. Like, I wasn't going to be there opening day, but now I might actually, like, try to pull off the mid-range release.
How did Scarlet look?
You know what? I quite literally had enough time to see the footage, have the lights come up, and then I made sure I got one of my tickets to go get one of those free T-shirts that they were giving out for after the panel, and I had to bolt because I had to interview Zack Snyder for the Watchmen director's cut DVD across the street. Mm-hmm. Literally had the chance to talk to him for 5 minutes. And then had to, I think, run about a mile and that was at 5 o'clock. I had a 5:15 interview about a mile away at another hotel for the guys of Black Dynamite, which without question has to be one of my, you know, and most anticipated films coming here into the fall. If you have a chance, you've got to take a look at that trailer.
That trailer's hilarious.
We're big fans over here.
Oh my gosh, I'm telling you, it was great. It was great. And then after that, I had to work the sci-fi / Entertainment Weekly red carpet party that was going on. And cool. Again, I thought it was going to be a lot more A-list talent. But I got to talk to, again, Mike Judge, Clifton Collins Jr., the guys of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Nice.
Joss Whedon, that was pretty cool.
Cool.
And a few other people from Battlestar Galactica. So after that, I was just like, I was spent. I was ready to go home. And and sure enough, the next morning, I was on a jet plane back to home.
So you took off Sunday morning?
Yeah, well, actually, it was like Sunday at like, it was at like 1 o'clock. But that's not, I mean, literally to check out of the room, it wouldn't be worth it just to go to the con and, you know, do anything, basically.
Fair enough. So what did you do Sunday, sir?
I slept in. And then we were able to hit up the floor for another couple hours because we didn't really get a chance to do that for the first few days just because we were always so busy with, you know, panels and interviews and stuff. So got to walk the floor for the last time, and then sadly Comic-Con was over on Sunday. It reminded me, though, on Friday we did see footage from Sherlock Holmes and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Excellent.
Right on.
Sherlock Holmes does not look good. And Nightmare on Elm Street looks really good.
Well, explain. Why doesn't Sherlock look good? What do you think?
It looks too action-y for a Sherlock Holmes movie.
Exactly. I was, you know, from coming out of the footage, I just was like, well, is he going to be a detective? Is he going to actually be Sherlock Holmes? Or is he going to be Iron Man without the Iron Man costume, you know, in the old world? And so I'm not impressed with what they showed for that.
Okay.
I hope it's better than I'm thinking it's going to be, but it doesn't look like it's going to really get there. I mean, it'll do good. It'll do fine in the, you know, it's opening Christmas Day, so it's impossible to not make money on Christmas Day. But I hope it's more than I've seen. And then as the Nightmare on Elm Street goes, it looked really good. They showed the one scene they showed was where Freddy ran into the warehouse and this mob of people were chasing him, and then they lit the warehouse on fire and he rips his jacket open and he's got the iconic sweater. And then, you know, he gets lit on fire and he runs out and he's on fire, and it just looks like it's going to be really good.
So you got to see Jackie Earle Haley before all the makeup.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they said most of the makeup took it like 4 hours a day or something like that to get it done. It didn't look over the top in the sense that the original stuff did. Mm-hmm. It actually looked like he was just a burn victim, which added, like, I don't know, to me it made it feel and seem more real. That he was this, you know, scary figure. So I think that's going to be really good. I'm about one of the only people on the planet that actually kind of enjoyed Friday the 13th, the remake. I thought it was, I mean, it's obviously not a great movie, but it was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. So I think that this is going to do that and maybe hopefully even more. So
cool.
But yeah, that was some extra stuff. But Sunday we didn't really do anything. It was a really good day to relax and kind of recover a little bit. So,
absolutely. Is there anything you wanted to ask before we wrap this up?
Did you guys see anything on Halloween 2 or the new Joe Dante movie?
No, I didn't. I actually, there is one thing I forgot. On Saturday night, I got to see Inglourious Basterds.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
Yeah, we're allowed to talk about that. That is definitely talkable. It was really good. They didn't allow press into the screening. So on Friday night, after we had went out, kind of hit the town a little bit, I had to go wait in line at like 3 a.m. to give, they're giving out tickets at 8 a.m. to the screening. So I went and waited in line and just kind of hung out there for a few hours and then got my ticket, came back that night at 8 o'clock, and Eli Roth showed up. The rest of the cast would have been there, but they're all doing the European tour to promote the film. So,
yeah.
It's a good movie. It really is. I think it's one of Tarantino's finest pieces to date.
Great.
You know, classic Tarantino with a lot of the dialogue that really drives the film. Super violent. Super, super violent. Very, very extreme violence. And it not once was I ever like, oh, that's too violent. I was like, that's awesome. You know, the whole time.
It's like I've always said, killing Nazis is never going to become politically incorrect.
Yeah. Oh, no. And they do a great job, too, let me tell you. But I really feel like coming out of watching that a lot of the audience is going to be disappointed in the movie, because the way that they're advertising this film is it's about this group of guys who are these bastards who are hunting down the Nazis, where that's really only half the film. Hmm. There's another half to the film about this girl who... you know, I don't want to ruin it for anyone. It's about this girl who, her whole family is killed by these Germans, and she gets away, and then she ends up establishing herself in this community and becoming no one knows that she's a Jew. So long story short, she gets into this movie business, she runs a movie theater, and then from there, the kind of story progresses, but there's a lot of setup to that point on her side of the story that I think a lot of people are going to be like, well, where are the bastards at? Why are we not following them more? If you go into it expecting this kind of a dual-sided story that kind of all comes together at the end, I think you're really going to enjoy it. It was a very well-done movie. The violence was, you know, as violent as it was very tasteful, and it fit well with how Tarantino does it. And then there's a lot of stuff in there, too, that you see and you're like, you just laugh, because only Quentin Tarantino can get away with some of the stuff that he does in movies, you know, where they'll pause the action on them, you know, and then this cheesy, you know, name for the guy will come up and then they'll kind of flat. I mean, it's just is a very, very, very good, very well done, very impressive film. So
cool. Right on. Cool. So let me, do you have anything else to bring
That's
up?
That's it, sir.
Okay. No. Ethan, did you have anything you wanted to ask about it?
No, I guess not.
Okay. Then finally, I'll ask, you know, not as press guys, but as Comic-Con attendees, do you guys think it's going to stick around in San Diego? Because there's all kind of talk about them going to L.A. or Vegas or whatever to try to find more space is probably the only way I could really put it.
I think it would stay. Wherever it goes, I'm following. So it's never going to make a difference to me whether it's Las Vegas or San Diego.
Would you like to see it move somewhere else?
It'd be neat. Then I'd be able to somehow convince my wife to be able to come with me. So, you know, at least because in San Diego, it's really not much, you know, for her to do when it's downtown San Diego, you know, besides, you know, hang out at a beach. But if it's Las Vegas, you know, it could be, you know, that could be lots of fun.
LA, you'd even have Disneyland.
You're right. But, you know, I'm not 13 anymore, so it's nice to know that I'd be able to drink myself silly after a long day of just, you know, carrying all my recording equipment.
Fair enough. Andy, what do you think?
I hope it doesn't move. I really don't. We were talking about this, you know, if it were to go to Vegas or, you know, what they could do in Vegas would be, you know, the MGM hotel, the MGM movies, they could theme the hotel like the movie. There's a lot that they could do in other places, but part of it being in San Diego is that when you walk around downtown San Diego after, you know, the cons closed for the day, the average fan can get all these experiences with these famous people, you know, take pictures, get autographs, something that you'll probably miss in a different location.
There is something to be said for that. Like if it goes to Vegas, you're going to have everyone hanging out in the VIP areas or the high roller rooms.
And there's so many different hotels that you can go and, you know, get your drink on and, you know, party at. But the feel of downtown San Diego is something that they could not reproduce anywhere.
Yeah.
And then I was telling you before the show, you know, if it went to LA, there'd be a lot of tickets that got a lot of VIP stuff, a lot of things that would get given away to studios that doesn't happen in San Diego. So I really hope it doesn't go to Los Angeles. I really, if it went anywhere, I think Vegas would probably be the second best. But San Diego has such a feel to it that, you know, if they left San Diego, I think there'd be a piece of Comic-Con missing.
Interesting.
That's an excellent point.
Cool. Well, Chris, I know you need to get running.
Yeah, I'm busted.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
It's all good. I'm sorry, dude. Sorry this went so stinking long. Do you have anything you need to pimp right now? I know you're going to have a ton of Comic-Con coverage hitting Quick Stop.
Yes. Yeah, if I could implore listeners, if you're at a Borders bookstore or a Barnes & Noble, to check out the latest Geek Monthly with Seth Green on the cover. I do have an article, a piece I did on the whereabouts of John Hughes and
great.
A documentary associated with that. So if you're around and you see it, pick it up. Let me know what you think.
I will go get that tomorrow. Heck yeah.
I'm getting that after the show. Heck yeah. Seriously.
Cool. Well, thank you much for joining us, sir. And we will have fun when you come on next time.
Thank you, man. Absolutely. Thank you so much for letting me be able to talk about it. Like I said, I don't... after you come home, no one really cares outside of your small circle about what went on, so it's nice to be able to share it with somebody.
Wait. I actually have one question before you go.
Uh-oh.
Will going to Comic-Con make girls like me?
I'm going to say no.
Well played, sir.
I have yet to find a girl who was impressed that I went to San Diego to hang out with a bunch of smelly nerds all weekend.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, very much.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
This is Ray.
Sup?
Let's listen in as Ray hits on Sandra.
Excuse me, miss, but do you know karate? Because your body is kicking.
Now, let's listen to the same scene. Only this time, Ray is sporting a quality Geek Label t-shirt.
Yo, baby, I was wondering,
damn.
Rejection.
What's up with that?
We can't really stop it.
Damn.
But we can outfit you in buttery smooth designs for geeks, gamers, and tech heads. They're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts.
Damn.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
This is Nana Visitor, and this is Screen Geeks Radio.
And since we went things a little bit backwards, then now we're going to do news now.
News.
I think all I have is really the Futurama news has been updated. Right as of right now, you know, good news, everyone. Everyone but DiMaggio and Billy West has signed back on. There's still negotiations, but it's looking very good. So it was all a stunt by Fox trying to get them to take less money, which is just stupid. I don't know. How do you think that was going to work? Like, the fans are going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, get Marlon Wayans to do Bender. That'll be just fine.
Would be good.
So wait, who are the... Forgive me, Dave, I'm not familiar with the actors. Who are the characters who are currently in negotiation?
Well, you have John DiMaggio, who does Bender, and one of Ma's sons. one of the idiot sons. And then Billy West does, oh, good God, he does Fry. He does Professor Farnsworth. He does Zoidberg. Who else does he do? Zap Brannigan. He does like a good chunk of the characters.
Okay.
So the other guy that does a lot of the characters, Maurice LaMarche, he's better known as the Brain. But he does a lot of characters. He's signed on, Katie Sagal's signed on. So we're back to correct Futurama.
Good. Good.
Yes.
As it should be.
Indeed. Ethan, what have you got?
Okay, the Wolfman has yet again been pushed, this time to February of 2010.
Which means that no one will watch that movie.
Oh, this it got troubling. Pushed to the dumping ground. This I didn't think really they were even going for the summer. They're, okay.
It's supposed to be this November. What is going on with that movie?
It probably sucks. That's what's going on.
Well, I want to give it the benefit of the doubt because this happened last year with Valkyrie. Valkyrie got pushed around three times, and then they just, at the last minute, decided to open on Christmas Day, and it ended up being a hit.
But that's on Christmas, when there's still Oscar contention. Yeah. We're talking Hannibal Rising territory here.
This is it's troubling because Mark Romanek, of course, the One Hour Photo director, was originally attached, and then now it's Joe Johnson, October Sky, and The Rocketeer. But because what we heard, what we talked about was that it went from him being on from two legs to being on four legs now, the Wolfman. So that was like the modifications they were doing. But yeah, February. That's troubling.
That's not a good sign.
No. February is better than it used to be, thanks to like Watchmen and 300.
Coraline.
Event movies do open, but this is not a vote of confidence.
No, not so much.
Summer of next year would be a vote of confidence. February is not.
Yeah, you got like one story, right, Barry?
I think the big one.
Okay, I'll let you do that, and then we'll get back to Ethan and let him finish out what he's got. Do you have anything at all, really, Andy?
Okay. Yeah,
that's all good.
Well, it's finally happened. After years and years and years of him being asked about it, of him throwing out ideas, Ridley Scott has officially decided to direct a prequel to Alien. He has alluded to in the past to this film being a Planet of the Aliens, dealing with who the space jockey in the first movie is, creating a real continuation between a prequel film and the original film. This is dream come true stuff for me. I've always wanted to see this.
Well, remember, we talked about this like a month ago, but Carl Rynch was originally going to direct it. Yeah. He's like Scott's protege, and I don't know, but this kind of, I don't know, this gives me a bit of a bad feeling about the movie, that it's like being, it, I really think that Scott really just wanted the other guy to direct it, and he just kind of got forced to this situation, and it was either probably him directing it or like Brett Ratner doing it, so he's like, okay, I'll do it.
Or it's a Halo situation, because Fox was going to do Halo, and Microsoft was behind Blomkamp, Peter Jackson was obviously behind Blomkamp, and 20th Century Fox pretty much torpedoed the project, and now we're never going to see that version of the film. So it's possible that they could have been in the same predicament with Alien, or they had to promise Scott something just ludicrous.
He's been in this position before where he was coming off a series of movies that weren't wildly successful, with the exception of American Gangster, which was a blockbuster, but his last few films otherwise, Goodyear and Body of Lies, were disappointments. But this happened a few years ago, right before Gladiator came out. Months before it came out, he made a deal to do Hannibal, and everybody thought it was nuts until they saw Gladiator. This is the same deal. He has Robin Hood coming out, which by everyone's account, they think it's going to be like one of the big blockbusters of this coming summer. To do that back-to-back, just like Gladiator and Hannibal back-to-back, were two of the most successful films of his career.
Well, it's good that Russell Crowe is going to play Ripley now.
I'd be interested, he said for years about Sigourney coming back if he ever did it, so I'd be really interested to see, because I know they have a really good working relationship. She was in his 1492. If she's willing to come back for James Cameron, I hope she'd be willing to come back for Ridley, even if it's just a cameo. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, that could be very cool. All right, Ethan, I'll let you wrap up with a couple more.
Okay, the trailer for the new Coen Brothers film, A Serious Man, came out. Did you guys see it?
I'm a slacker and didn't see it.
Yeah, I thought it looks pretty cool. I mean, to be like mean, it looks typical Coen Brothers, but that's still the Coen Brothers. It looks great.
Is this noir Coen Brothers, or is this
kind of
goofy Coen Brothers?
Goofy noir. So
I got a real Barton Fink vibe from it.
That's all I need to hear. I'm there.
I almost got like it looks like it has a bit of an almost kind of creepy vibe to it, I found.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And also the trailer for Wes Anderson's newest Fantastic Mr. Fox came out.
Yeah. I'm excited about this.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, either. It took two viewings to really appreciate this trailer, because at first the animation looks kind of like Robot Chicken, but on the second view I thought, man, this movie looks really funny.
Yeah, it's actual traditional stop motion animation. And again, like if you see the trailer more than once, you see that the framing for the scenes are just like Wes Anderson's movie, which is so bizarre to see with felt fuzzy characters. But the voice work with Meryl Streep and Bill Murray and George Clooney and Owen Wilson looks really terrific. Jason Schwartzman looks hilarious. I think it looks really, really great.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then speaking of movies getting pushed back, The Box got pushed back by 1 week. 1 week. And the rumor is that this is because of Saw 6. So they want to, like, you know, because Saw 6, I mean, you know, last year with Saw 5 and High School Musical 3, those were both successful because it was, you know, two movies with very different audiences going to see it. But, you know, The Box and Saw 6 might be too close a demographic. So they want to push back the Saw push The Box back by a week.
That just hurts my brain that those would be too close of them. Okay.
Well, the fanboys, you know.
I guess. Okay.
Sci-fi, gory geekiness, I guess.
Okay.
So now The Box opens at the week after Halloween.
Which is just going to do so much for it. Right?
It's one thing they pushed it back by a week. I don't know.
Wow. All right. Have you got one more out there, Ethan? Or?
No.
Okay. Well, then, heck, let's talk about what is hitting theaters this weekend.
This coming weekend, we got G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. It all comes down to Channing Tatum versus Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And the Doctor.
The
Christopher
Doctor.
Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the good Doctor. And Marlon Wayans. So, keep your expectations in check. Nora Ephron's new comedy with Amy Adams and Meryl Streep, Julie and Julia. A Perfect Getaway. We've never seen this one before. Vacationers go on vacation and they don't come home. Starring Mila Jovovich. In limited release, a film about grave robbers 10 years after Plunkett and McLean. Dominic Monaghan stars in the very, very, very limited released I Sell the Dead. You said it's in one theater?
One screen.
One theater.
IFC.
So,
way to stand behind your movie, IFC.
Hey, if anyone out there sees this movie, send us an email. We'd be curious to hear if it's any good. In limited release, a documentary. Really interesting film called Paper Heart, written and directed by Charlene Yee, a young woman who went on the search for love. And during the making of the film, you see her fall in love with a guy named Michael Cera, also playing himself. This is a documentary about their relationship together, and at least that's what it became during the making of the film. It's supposed to be a great film.
Huh.
And then, probably much stranger, a film called Cold Souls, also in limited release, starring Paul Giamatti as himself.
Okay.
It seems like it's a little too early in his career to be playing himself, but there you go.
All right, then. Wow. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay, so we know G.I. Joe's going to take the weekend.
Yes.
And it's going to be good. I don't care what you say. Transformers was so bad that it's impossible to not go watch G.I. Joe and say, that was a lot of fun. That's what everyone's been saying. A lot of good stuff.
It's 45 minutes shorter, so...
That has Transformers 2 did lower the bar so low. Yeah, it's true.
Okay, let's go on to DVDs.
DVD releases Paul Rudd and Jason Segel and I Love You Man. Very funny movie.
Love that movie.
Zac Efron, one of the worst films of the year, 17 again. The Class, the winner of the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, I believe 2 years ago. Finally getting a DVD release, supposed to be a very good film. And then Erin McCormick and Robert Patrick in Alien Trespass. I've heard this is a really fun movie.
I've heard that too. And we were supposed to get a screening here in Denver. They were even supposed to do a panel at Starfest, and then suddenly...
It's played in Denver for about a week, and then it was gone. And yeah, and it didn't come to Starfest, unfortunately. But I've heard it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, well, let's wrap it up. We have a piece of mail here. Last week, we had, you know, and sorry everyone for dropping three episodes in one day, but we're caught up. But we usually have new listeners. This is from our biggest fan. It says, my computer has been acting up, so I hadn't DL'd any current episodes since the one with Dave and Melissa. So all morning long, I've been catching up with the last three episodes at work today. It's Friday. I had to download them onto a Sony MP3 player since I still can't do it with my iPod or iPhone. With the addition of 7, these upcoming episodes will be my favorite, only because 3 out of the 4 films you're supposed to be covering I've seen, and I'm always happy when I can relate to seeing a film you guys cover. By the way, welcome back, Josh, since you're not here. That's okay. This just, it planned this way. It worked out perfectly because 7 people in a podcast, that would just been insane.
Crowded house.
There's another podcast I listen to that is new and is still trying to improve as a podcast, since the people who host it are mainly podcast listeners. Anyway, I bring that up because their podcast is all about reviewing other podcasts. It's a very cool idea. I've listened to the first episode where they kind of sort of tell what it's about and break down what they may or may not like about it. I suggest they listen to the show. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Uh-oh. I'm getting fired.
No, you're not. As long as you do... Never mind. I told you I was going to make you do that voice this week, so I'm not. I told them I was referred to as Screen Geek's biggest fan, which I will accept. The name of their show is First Time Caller, which I'll put a link to on the website. Your biggest fan, Valencia. And Valencia is our biggest fan by far.
She is. Thank you, Valencia. That's awesome.
And if you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. You can email us at podcast, Barry, Dave, Melissa, Ethan, Josh, at screengeeks.com. Phone number might be changing here pretty soon. We're working on getting a new service for that. But you can also follow us on Facebook under Screen Geeks Radio. If you just do a search, you'll get to our fan page. And I actually even post the episodes on Facebook. So if you can't get to the RSS feed or the webpage for some reason, you can get to it that way.
Yes, and please leave comments. Please leave comments. We do. We love comments.
Yes,
so we've
got 23 fans so far, so that's cool. Once we hit 100 fans, we can actually register for facebook.com/screengeeks. So,
great.
Yeah, that would be cool. I guess that will kind of wrap it up. Andy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Where can we find your work?
Fanboys.net. It's fanboys with a Z.
Okay.
So fanboyz.net. Okay. Cool. It's a new website. It's really great. A lot of movie stuff, a lot of movie coverage, as well as comic books and television shows. So,
which, knowing the guys that work with you, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have people who work at theaters
and
comic book
stores. It's a group of guys who love comics and movies and television shows. And so we're really committed to making the site a really, hopefully, a force, you know, in the internet biz. So,
cool.
Fanboys.net.
With a Z. Don't forget that, listeners. Otherwise, you'll go to the site for the movie, which is not the same thing.
Not at all.
and we'll have you back on. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah. We'll thanks for having me, guys.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate
do
it.
Do some cross-promotion.
Yeah.
And next week, we will be continuing our series on David Fincher, talking about The Game. Sean Penn. Well, not starring Sean Penn. starring Michael Douglas with Sean Penn in it.
And a creepy clown.
And a creepy clown, yes. So until then, this is Dave.
Barry.
Ethan.
Take it easy.